Podcasting 2.0 for March 14th, 2025, episode 214, Poem Crate. Oh yeah, everybody, it's a beautiful day in the Hill Country because, well, it's Friday. It's always a beautiful day when it's Friday. It is time for the official boardroom and board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country in the only boardroom that always observes Pi Day. And in Alabama, the man who always finds the root cause of your 429 error. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, you know what?
What?
You know what the Stream Deck is good for?
You mean the one I gave you a year ago for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the Stream Deck good for, Dave?
It's the perfect height to
to prop your phone on?
Your bag of popcorn on. So that you can reach into it,
yes,
during the show.
It truly is the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
It does. Didn't even know that was a feature, did you?
No, it's fantastic. I'm so happy for it. Do you actually use that thing anymore? I mean, I doubt you do. You do? Really?
No, I use it, yeah.
You got macro set up on it and stuff?
I use it for like mute and unmute.
Oh. And of what? Your microphone?
Yeah, of the audio on the computer. I use it to launch. This is weird. I use it to launch.
Your browser.
Yes. I have buttons for different things to execute bash commands. I have a button to restart Umbral services.
Oh, that's a pretty cool one. That's not bad. That's good to have. Yeah. I got to tell you, in my Umbral, I'm going to knock on wood. It is so solid. It will run approximately 2 months, and it runs on an old IBM the Surface, no, Microsoft Surface 8, I think.
Oh, not the Go?
The Go died a long time ago.
Okay.
The Go went, and the screen separated from the back and everything. It got all puffy, and I don't know what's going on. I don't want to see that thing anymore. It runs Umbral, it runs on Ubuntu, and it'll be fine. And then once every like 2 months, just the whole machine, the screen will go black, everything's dead, and it's just dead as a doornail. And then I have to, I have to hard shut it down, long power button press, and then reboot it, and then it comes back and it's fine. It's about 2 months, like clockwork. I don't know what it is.
You know how I know when my Umbral needs to be rebooted? Is when IPFS
Podcasting
sends me an email.
That's exactly how I know too. Your note has been offline for 24 hours. I'm like, wait a minute, it must be the Umbral node. You're so right. That's exactly.
I need to have some sort of. You got a glitch.
Now my plug was. I was coming unplugged.
No,
I'm good.
Don't do that.
I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I need to have like an email, make an IMAP script that'll check once a day for that email and then just automatically restart the Umbral.
Now we're talking. The Start 9, however, that thing will run for many, many months, and then it'll just shit the bed. It'll just be done, and then I have to hard reboot the whole box. But I noticed that one pretty quickly because I use a lot of services on it.
Well, many months is better than 2 months.
It should be like just forever.
Ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why it does that, but it's okay.
You know what does run forever?
Mm-hmm.
Old PHP applications.
No kidding. You mean like the Freedom Controller?
Yeah, I have not SSH'd into my Freedom Controller in like 2 years.
I think you had to SSH into, you had to go into mine because there was a disk warning, I think, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the first time I've logged into it
years.
Years, literally years, and it just keeps going.
And
going
what was it? Log files? Must have been log files.
What was it? I don't even remember now. It was an easy fix, though.
That's the first thing I thought is, oh, that's got to be log files or something.
Probably it was log files, but yeah. I don't remember.
But in general, the systems you build just run. I mean, that's your, it's in your DNA, it's like you build
it's
a system.
DNA. It's
in your DNA. I haven't played that clip in a long time.
Tell me about your sexuality. It's in your DNA.
Where is that one? It's a DNA. What was it? Oh, Charlie Rose, right? Wasn't it Charlie Rose? Yeah.
Yeah, that was Charlie. The one. Yeah.
Tell me about the sexuality. It's in your DNA.
A creepy guy.
Was that Madonna?
That I don't know what that was. I never even heard that background noise.
I think it was Madonna. What happened to Charlie Rose? Is he?
Oh, you don't know what happened to Charlie Rose?
Oh, he got canceled, right?
Yeah, because he was walking around, had the interns come over to the house, and was like, oh, my bathrobe fell open. Boing, oing, oing, oing.
Oh, that's so bad.
He was like 78, you know, walking around with a boomer boner. That's no good,
He got Matt Lauer'd.
Yes. You know, yeah, it was in that time, definitely. It is Pi Day, Dave. Happy Pi Day.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. I've got a... No, Boomer Boner cannot be a show title. That's, I reject that outright, immediately.
No, that's
right
not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
I do have a public service announcement.
Public service announcement.
State of Alabama.
Oh, what's going on in the state of Alabama?
It's about to get nasty here tomorrow.
Well, hold on a second.
Bombshell.
Okay, what's happening? Uh-huh. What do you got coming
tornadoes.
Through? Tornadoes. Really? Oh, that sucks.
Tomorrow is about the scariest weather prediction I've seen in about a decade. So it's it's for real. Yeah, no, we're gonna have. It's about a sure thing that we're gonna have some violent long track tornadoes. And so if you live in Alabama or Mississippi, you really need to take this seriously, because this is going to be pretty bad. Where people are going to, they will die tomorrow. So you need to be a weather aware.
Weather aware. Yeah. I'm just taking a look at the aviation weather. Let's see. What are the conditions that make it so bad? Cause you have red flag warnings like we do. You got high winds, dry.
It's the instability, the atmospheric instability. And then there's updrafts. All over the place. There's these huge streaks of updrafts, and so that you have, it's just the perfect mixture of. It's just a perfect mixture of conditions that, like, the biggest thing you go in the meteorology models. The biggest one you go off of is what's called the STP, the significant tornado parameter, and a bad. Like, it's a scale from 1 to 10, and a bad one, a pretty nasty tornado event is probably 5 or 6. These numbers are like 10 to 15.
Yeah, I can. There's like 3 bands of weird weather that are circling around there.
Yeah, and I'm concerned about Gordon too, because this is gonna go. There's gonna be two.
He's driving
to
Nashville,
storms.
Isn't he?
Uh huh. There's gonna be 2 rounds of these storms, and the first one. The first round of it's not going to hit Alabama too bad. There's still tornado threats, but it's mostly going to be up into like Kentucky and Tennessee.
That's very concerning because he has all the bank account information.
Emails, Gordon, send us emails.
Yeah, drop us some info. Yeah, they're on a 10-day road trip. Well, okay. Well,
but then there's another round of it coming. The main event for Alabama is tomorrow, around lunchtime to end of the night, and that's it's going
to
be bad.
So does that mean you have to be standby with the generator at the office?
I'm going to have to go. I need to get out on time today from the show so I can go make prep for that. I got to make sure everything's, you know, taken care of for all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Great timing too. You know, right during
this corporate tax season could not be better. Yeah. Sorry. It's all right because there's no one at the IRS anyway. There's no one to receive anything.
They've all been hatcheted. Yeah.
I wonder what kind of what is the talk around the office about that? What are people saying? I mean, what are the repercussions going to be? Just nothing? Nothing's going to change?
I don't think much is going to change.
Who do they let go of? People who investigate stuff, hopefully?
Well, most of who they let go of so far are all people hired in the last year anyway. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot affected by it for most people, because most 90% of the audits and stuff that happen, they're all correspondence audits anyway. You get an automated letter, and then there's a follow-up, and you know.
Well, that's not the audit I had. The audit I had included the IRS agent checking out my Airstream to see if it was why I needed that for my podcast. Can't you just do it on your iPhone like everybody else?
This was how long ago?
10 years ago. It's time.
Oh yeah, it's different. It's different now. Yeah, there was actual people doing things back then. Now most of the IRS interactions now are automated. They don't want you to call them. You know, they just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
It's not. Dreb said it's all the new enforcement people they hired. They really didn't hire that many people.
No, they had like 87,000 they wanted to hire, but they couldn't find that many even. They couldn't find a percentage of that probably.
Yeah, they said they were going to hire like 80,000 and then they ended up hiring like 7,000.
7,000 is still a lot, bro. That's a lot of people.
It is a lot, but they're all gone now. They got hatcheted immediately. Yeah.
Wow. So we're going to have Tom Webster on next week, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
Was that already scheduled? Was that scheduled? Is this just Providence that we had him scheduled and we had this back and forth breakout?
If my middle name is Providence, then it was Providence because I did it. I did it this morning. Yeah. I reached out to him.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Yeah. And, you know, I've wanted to have him on quite a few times just because I thought it would be a fun thing because I think he's got a radio background and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it'd be a good discussion similar to what, you know, we talk about with James and, Dan Granger had you on his show. I just think it's a good, discussion because we all come at these things, from different vantage points. And, it's nice to sort of, I don't know. It's nice to talk. To hear it both in real time, like we're saying, you know, we see things from this angle, and then he sees sometimes the same things from not really a different angle, but from just he's got a different view of it.
Yeah,
and so I think it's cool. Like we had Brian Barletta on the show a few years ago.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that was a good discussion. So yeah, it'll be good.
Well, I listened to his article. I guess it's exactly the same as he wrote. Seems like it's the same copy.
Yeah,
I think so. Of course, you know, the first thing I look at after my Bible study in the morning, the first website I will look at is podcastindex.social, just to see what's going on. I subscribe to James and his Pod News stuff, which is kind of cool because I get to see all the stories that he's talking about. Of course, I always have J65. What's that guy? J56. Who's the
J56?
Who's the
Noster guy?
The Noster guy. Yeah, yeah. I follow him. Yeah. I follow him on podcastingx.social through the Noster bridge. And then I'll listen to Pod News, you know, and so I kind of know what's going on. But this morning I was like, oh, this is interesting, and it was kind of interesting to me because I think Matt, who did a response to that article, I don't know if he took it the right way. Because I didn't feel like any of, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's clickbaity. Oh, podcasting 3.0. Okay, yeah, fine. But I didn't take it anything that he said negative. I have some thoughts about it because, first of all, I always find it interesting. We're going to talk about podcasting 3.0. Is it successful? But remember, we've got branded podcasts coming up. You're like, okay, whatever. There's money dripping off of the whole thing. He started off by saying fact. And I'm always ready for that. And I can't wait to talk to him about it. He said, podcasting hasn't yet cemented into daily life. And I'm like, wow. I don't think that's true.
You don't?
No. Well, he based it on a cadence, a weekly cadence of updates. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
you know, I'm actually someone who can kind of speak to that. I've been doing this for a while, and I have a podcast on Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday. Yes, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Mm-hmm. And people are in the cadence of the shows that they subscribe to. They, what I find, and this is, I don't have actual data to back this up, but I talk to a lot of people. There's a lot of people who listen to my shows, and they get into, they adapt to the schedule of their favorite podcast. And, you know, there's probably 80% of the No Agenda audience listens to the Sunday show on Monday, and they listen mm-hmm. to it on their commute, mainly. It's a big, you know, it's 3 hours, 3.5 hours, so it's a big commuter show. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to the hour, even. For like the Thursday show, if we release that an hour late, people are antsy. So, but they have this the same with all of their weekly shows. They don't all come out on the same time. In fact, the Thursday and Sunday days were chosen very specifically as, okay, we think these are the right days that coincides with when news comes out, when we can process it. So Friday is when people jam everything into the mainstream to get it out. You know, let's bury this on Friday. So we have Saturday to process it, and we can talk about it on Sunday. And then Monday's kind of slow, and then Tuesday and Wednesday you got a little build up, and then, you know, we're kind of past the middle of the week. But I found he was kind of had this, he was mixing up different media types, and podcasting is something completely different from radio. It's like, you know, there's the, you get in, well, you know, like you get into the car and you listen to the radio, it's one button of joy. Well, yeah, people get into the car and it's five buttons of joy, because you listen for the time, the traffic, and the temperature. And then when the commercials hit, you hit the second button of joy. And if that's in commercials, you hit the third button of joy. I mean, it's like bouncing around. I mean, it's not like, oh, I always get joy from turning on the radio, for those who still do. And there's still a lot of people who listen to radio in the car. It felt to me like what he's looking for is stickiness, people using podcast apps all the time. And I can understand that, you know, you know, when you compare, because he did this, he compared podcasting to YouTube and to Facebook and to Instagram and social media. Well, those are completely different things. But if you're someone whose livelihood depends on stickiness of people in an app, so you can insert ads or whatever else, yeah, I understand that it's not working for you. And but to blame that on the apps, which he kind of did, he says that it's the apps. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's interesting. Because, you know, YouTube, I don't think that brings you consistent joy. It's an algorithmic machine that is meant to suck you in. Like, oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. I did that on Monday. I just sat down on the couch. I'm just going to look at some YouTube. And 2.5 hours later, I'm like, I had to repent. What did I just do? I'm looking at, you know, cop body cams, in, you know, arresting influencers, you know, it's like, you know, so yeah, you know, that's the, I don't know if that's consistent joy. And then it kind of morphed into, it felt a little disjointed, kind of morphed into what listeners want. And
I think that's where my takeaway was that I think one of the, his concept of a listener is I think something that I don't understand. Like, I think this is probably true for a lot of people that have an advertising focus.
Yeah.
It's not that it's wrong. It's just that I can't conceptualize a listener, I think, in the way that he does. And so, because you're talking about your, you know, you've got your show, let's say there's No Agenda, and you're like, you know, it's a Sunday and a Thursday cadence. And you've got a huge massive audience. And some fraction of that, I don't know how much, but some fraction of that is going to be so extremely locked in on that cadence. But then but I don't think that's the listener he means.
No, you're driving in the right direction. What I heard him asking for is applications or platforms, whatever you want to call it. He said apps that keep people engaged and listening all the time on the podcast app. Well, you're never going to get that because that's not what they're built for. They're actually built to organize your own cadence, your own listening. And, you know, the minute I hear, well, AI can solve some of this, I'm like, oh, no, you're never going to get that. You're never going to get that from a podcast app because there's no one that I'm aware of, including Apple, who, you know, are going to put the bare metal behind it to track your behavior and suggest things. That's not really what it's for. And so the thing that bugged me between what Tom was saying and Matt's response is the one thing that was omitted from the entire conversation is the content. It's the content that people listen to. It's not the app that makes people want to listen. Oh, I'm just going to listen to this random thing because it popped up. No, it's the content. And you usually hear about it from someone else. And remember, the most powerful term in broadcasting today is wherever you get your podcast. So both things can be true, that a podcast isn't a podcast app. And if you consider a podcast a video on YouTube, that's fine. But what we're doing here has very little to do with driving more engagement or being, you know, or having more people use certain features. I just continuously, and even the responses, you know, like, well, normal people won't do this or we'll do that. Like, oh, by the way, all listeners are stupid, apparently. This is just not true. Yeah, people are willing to contort themselves, and they will beg, steal, and borrow to get the content they want. And you know, RSS readers are still a big thing today, but you don't hear about them because people get their feed from these platforms that just give you a fire hose of stuff. And maybe you'll see the people you are following or the content that you're following. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But with Matt's response, it kind of came into, well, I guess because Tom said there's no steady hand on the tiller driving it forward. Well, this is not a boat.
I think Matt misunderstood as well. Cause I didn't feel like it was any sort of shot across the bow.
No.
I mean, he said, podcasting 2.0 is a loose initiative, and he's right.
It's about
as loose as it gets.
There's still a very big misconception, and I feel James has this misconception, and Sam has this misconception. You're not going to get to a point where every app has all the features, or even a tenth of the features. And it was kind of interesting because I was listening to Power, and they were talking about Pocket Cast. That they released a web player version. And, well, you know, it's kind of the same thing Apple did, only Apple may be better or whatever. But the thing that I didn't hear them say is right there in the web player, Pocket Cast displays chapters, 2.0 chapters. Apple doesn't have that. You know, I find that to be a huge win that Pocket, and they have it in their app as well. I find that to be a huge win that they're doing that. And so all these features, you have to understand, this is the big misconception. The media has fragmented. Your television viewing experience it's a bunch of different apps. It's Netflix, it's Peacock, it's Disney Plus, it's, you know, HBO or Max, as it, you know, that folded in. It's a bunch of different apps. And then, you know, hopefully whatever you were watching, you can pick up there from the top row, continue watching. Hopefully it'll give you a suggestion for something you might want to watch. But typically you're like, oh, I heard about this show. What's it on? Oh, it's on Hulu. Okay. Do we have a Hulu subscription? Yeah. Okay. Oh, we don't? Well, I'll get the month so I can drop it after we binge this show. Yeah. You know, you go in and you watch your show and then you're done. I pulled some stats because I thought Tom would enjoy this. Because I have a couple of interesting examples of podcasts. And so I used OP3 stats. Because and I just use them across the board because, you know, no matter what you call a download, a unique, or any of this stuff, it doesn't really matter as long as we're using the same number every single time. So if I look at No Agenda, just to get a rough idea from OP3. So we had in the last 30 days, 847,799 downloads. And according to OP3, in February, we had 707,224 unique audience. I don't know what it means. It doesn't really matter, but that's just a number. Now, here's what is interesting. No Agenda is not on Spotify. And we're not on Spotify because, well, and we're not on YouTube. And I'll tell you the YouTube experience because people have said before, hey, can I put your shows up on YouTube? So, yeah, go ahead. Do whatever you want. And after a while, they come back and say, well, I stopped doing that because I kept getting strikes. I was about to lose my account. So, you know, I know that won't work. Spotify, right. I'm glad that we never agreed to their terms, which, you know, includes all kinds of advertising possibilities and stuff I just didn't like. I just felt it was kind of icky. So we never built up an audience on Spotify. And now I'm delighted we didn't because if there's any kind of music in your podcast, automatic, they remove the episode, even if it's licensed. And of course, we have end of show mixes, which are used under fair use of parody and in education. So every single show could get a strike or be taken off. And like, so I'm glad we don't have to deal with that. But let's just look at some of the numbers of the No Agenda show. And this is OP3 numbers. So the number one app, actually the number one place where people listen to the No Agenda show is Apple Podcasts, 37%. I'll round up the numbers. Okay. Number two is Podverse with 14%. Then comes Podcast Addict with 7%, Podcast Guru with almost 7%, Overcast with 6.2%, Pocket Cast with 5.2%, Fountain with 4.4%, and Antenna Pod with 2.7%. Now, if you just take those numbers, everything, and so that those are all 2.0 apps. And I know that people use those for a number of reasons, but I know they're seeing chapters. I know they're seeing transcripts. I know that for whatever reason, maybe because we said, hey, these are interesting podcast apps to use, that total number of those 2.0 apps is 39.7%. That's more than Apple Podcasts. So more people are using or at least being exposed to 2.0 features. I presume they're using them. I presume they like them. Than Apple Podcasts. Now you go over to the web browser, 11.1% of people listen to No Agenda at noagendashow.net.
How much?
11.1%. And if you go to noagendashow.net, what do you see? Chapters, transcripts, scrolling transcript, people, and how does noagendashow.net get it? I don't upload. They just get it from the RSS feed. Also, my RSS feed is shooting it to wherever you get your podcast. So if you take the 39.7% plus the 11.1%, you're almost 51% that don't listen on Apple Podcasts, and no one listens on Spotify. I think that's a pretty big win. Now, let's look at another show, Curry and the Keeper. Curry and the Keeper was never put on Apple, ever. I want it to be a 2.0 podcast only. So if you look at that, the top podcast app with 47.6% is Fountain. Number two, 10.56%, Podverse. Podcast Addict with 9.5%, Pocket Cast with 5.4%, Podcast Guru with 5.4%, Cast-O-Matic with 4.6%, and Apple Podcasts, I guess people are subscribing themselves, 2.93%. We're also not on Spotify. Now, very few people listen I think episodes.fm, because I tweet out a link, is 1.05%. That show does about $15,000 in revenue from Fountain and PayPal with 5,000 unique audience. I call that a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
A huge success. You know, so in aggregate, if you're looking at all podcasts, you can't do that. It's what do people care about? What content do they want to listen to? You know,
These numbers are interesting too, because if you compare, like if you compare No Agenda, not compare, but if you look at No Agenda's audience, the vast majority, I mean, here's what I'm trying to say. If you were to do a Venn diagram of the number of people who listen to this show and the people who listen to No Agenda, the overlap would be tiny.
Yeah.
There's very few people listening to No Agenda that also listen to The Boardroom. And so that audience mix that you have, that's 51%, you know, 2.0 or web, those are what you might call normal listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just like diehard 2.0 advocates.
Right.
You know, and it seems to me the only explanation for why that's the case is one, just, you know, behavior that's inscrutable and with the web, and combined with the fact that you've been telling people to go to these apps.
Yes.
In the show for four years now.
And for reasons. Mm-hmm. And the reasons is No Agenda. I say, hey, you want to see cool chapters? You want to get notified? You want to have your app is connected to Podping? And the amount of times that people will send me a note, you haven't uploaded to Apple. So no, I don't upload to Apple. It's not how it works. If you want to get it within 90 seconds, use these apps. Oh, okay. Then they're happy. But I guess my overall point is that wherever you get your podcasts has never been more prevalent now than ever. The original intent of RSS and the enclosure feed was to activate one single device, the iPod, in a very low bandwidth world. We had always on computing. That was the world in which podcasting was developed. So the idea that your iPod would be updated with content was just joyful by itself. Like, oh my God, you know, because if you wanted to listen to a podcast and you clicked, you would wait 3 to 5 minutes just for the thing to load. You know, there was barely any, you couldn't really stream anything in. There was no on demand. And that was the world in which it was developed, and that kind of grew out now into RSS is a distribution mechanism and a feature mechanism, really. And so when I see, even what a great example, even these two pieces of content, I listened to what Tom had to say in my web browser on podcastingnext.social. I listened, kind of watched, Matt's response on YouTube. Now, would it be easy for me to go back and find Matt's response or subscribe to him? Probably not. Tom? Yeah, I could probably find that pretty easy if I wanted to. The thing is, wherever you get your podcasts is just a fact. Most of the people who listen to Curry and the Keeper, I'll say, you should listen to our show. And then they open up DuckDuckGo, and they type in Curry and the Keeper, and they click on the link, and then they see a player, and they play. And I say, well, you can use a podcast app. Yeah, I've seen that thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what your RSS feed gives you is the capability to have your content distributed to many, many different places. Podpage, another great example. You know, it's not just an app anymore. And we have to get over this idea that the apps are going to be, you know, the full-blown experience, because they're just not. It was very relevant back when we had feed readers and we loved it. Now, do I still use a feed reader? Yeah, sure, from time to time. But it's not my primary way of consuming anything. Lots of podcasts. I'll just, you know, hit the page and just listen. And if I want to subscribe, I agree. I'm not your normal podcast listener. So I subscribe to a lot of things, but I never go looking for to say, oh, what showed up in the feed today? I'll grab this. I'll listen to this. There's a lot more stuff in there that I don't listen to than I do listen to. So yeah,
Kiwi Bones, it says, how many people these days would still have their VCRs flashing 12 at 12 o'clock? Young people may not even understand what that means, but you know, it just means that you never took the time to set the time on the VCR, and it's just always flashing.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a good point, because I mean, most people are not going to, I don't know. There's this weird tension. There's this weird tension between people they're not going to exert a lot of effort over what seems like technical fussing, like just setting the clock on your VCR. They're like, I've got a watch. Why do I need to waste my time doing that? But at the same time, they'll go find the content they want. I mean, they'll seek it out. Like there's this sort of dual, I don't know, it's almost a paradox where I'm willing to exert the effort over this thing, but I'm not going to futz around with the technicalities of this thing. So whether I'm going to go get the content, but if I land in a web browser when I try to find it, I'm fine.
Exactly.
It's okay. I don't really care.
And by the way, I think that the biggest, there's two success stories in my mind. I think Fountain is a huge success story because Fountain has everything that Tom talked about. If you're into Fountain and you open up the app, you're going to see people you follow. They're recommending stuff. People are commenting on shows with boostograms, and then you can comment back on that. There's all kinds of interactivity happening, all kinds of stuff. The No Agenda Show, one of the most fun things I find, which is really only kind of available in CurioCaster just by a web embed, is the Troll Room. So there's 2,000 people listening live. On average, it's a little bit higher. You know, Thursday and Sunday, we've had people, 4,000 people listening live, and there's just a scrolling IRC channel of all kinds of stuff, and people are giving each other karma. This is your thumbs, you know, your thumbs up stuff, and all the things that we've been talking about, and it exists only within this little world. You have to go to trollroom.io, and that, you know, you've got to log in, and if you want to post, you have to authenticate, and it's horrible. It's very difficult. Everything always goes wrong, but people somehow figure it out, and they do it, and they love it, and it's a party. It's an absolute bonanza of a party. Not a podcast app. It's just a web thing that people get into, and some people use an IRC client. Others just do it on the website. So my point is, we're not building radios anymore. We are building a feature set that can be used in many different ways, as we're seeing with Godcaster. It can be used in so many different ways that we haven't even started to explore. I mean, right now, I've got a developer named Paul Blair, and he's building an app for me, an app for Hello Fred. It's amazing. And what is it based on? It's based on RSS feeds. And what are the features going to be? It's going to be all kinds of 2.0 features in there. You know, maybe I'm building a radio. Maybe that's the one button joy. Hey, you want Adam's world? Just get this app and click on it, and there's my world or whatever. I think there's a lot of different opportunities that we're kind of stuck. We're stuck in. So we're not. It's not that no one has their hand on the tiller. Is we're on a sandbank. We've run aground. But not with what we're doing, but with the concept. Because people they're just as used to going to YouTube to find something as they are to going to Spotify or whatever else. It's not that podcasts have to be consumed in a podcast app. Proof is there. I had no idea until I went looking, because I don't look at numbers. The only number to look at is, can I pay the mortgage? and I see 11% of people using noagendashow.net. That's a lot.
That is that's a surprising amount.
That's hundreds of thousands of people listening on a website. Why? I don't know. That's what they like. It's snazzy. And Tim who built the website, he doesn't have to do much. It's all automated. Whenever I publish, it goes into the feed and shows up there and shows up all kinds of places. And part of it goes to bingit.io. So it's distribution. Now, if you want to do a podcast and just put it on YouTube, and by the way, there's other places than YouTube where podcasts are being consumed. No one talks about Rumble, but they have market share. You know, there's other places. If you don't want to control that and you want to risk, you know, take all, it's like people more and more these days saying, hey, man, you can live stream to Spaces. I say, why would I do that? First of all, it's the worst experience because you have to stay there. You can't use the app and scroll around and do other things while you're listening to a space. And second of all, it's like, well, what if I build up an audience there and Elon sells it or he changes his mind or whatever happens? I have no control over that. Why would I do that?
One of the ways that I I spent a lot of time this week thinking about just trying to step back and take a 50,000 foot view of things, and it was helpful. And one of the way I think I came to Tom's article in sort of a good mindset.
Me too.
It sort of hit me at a good point. Because there's been a lot of criticism of 2.0 lately, and so I think I was just in a bad place, you know, like last week, and I'm glad that he wrote that this week so that I could had a chance to come at it with a different outlook. And, you know, I think that it may be that people who really love podcasting, that people like Tom and James and some others, Mark Asquith and some others, I think what they're wanting, and I'd like to ask him about that this next week, is I think they may be annoyed by the fact that these other platforms seem to have such like polish and unified experiences, like, and they want podcasting to have some of that, you know, cause it's hard, you know, to take it as an ad, like an advertiser focus, which is what the, you know, podcast industrial complex is. I mean, it's an advertising focused thing, and take it, you know, like if you're in that world and you're trying to sell ads into podcasting, it's got to be hard.
It's got to be very hard
because podcasting's a mess.
Well, yeah, it was never built to really sustain advertising mechanisms. I mean, it's, again, people don't enjoy podcasts. They enjoy content. Now, if you call that a podcast and you get it, what you think, you don't need to get it in one particular, but people want content. When I was in 1975, yeah, come on, sit on my knee, young man. I'll tell you a story. When I was a kid, we had FM radio blanketing the entire country of the Netherlands. Crystal clear, beautiful signal, never crapped out, repeaters everywhere. But yet, we would get our little transistor radios and listen to long wave, not medium wave, long wave, to listen to the pirate ships in the North Sea, to listen to music. So when you hear Stairway to Heaven on a long wave signal, it's not quite the same experience as FM. But we didn't care because this is what we wanted to hear. When MP3s first came out, nobody's going to listen to music on that. The quality is horrible.
Yeah, 128 kilobit, what?
That's no good. And here we are. It's always going to be the content that drives it. I mean, come on. I mean, the Faces of Death video, which not everyone will understand that reference, but I watched it. It must have been the 20th generation. And it was still
so
cool.
Nasty.
And it was still cool. Like when you see all those people dying in these horrific ways, and then the people eating the brains out of the monkey's head.
And it had the static stripes across it because it'd been copied so many times.
And then, you know, the sink would go up. But that's the point. It's the content that you want. If Serial had come out on just a web page, I still think it would have been very successful. Podcasting, the concept of podcasting, wrote its coattails. Now, like every other mass medium, certainly user-generated, a lot of it is just no good. It's just not. Or it's going to be interesting to a very, very small audience. Well, unless you are able to cobble that together, as you said, in a slick platform that has all kinds of measurement and algorithms, etc., you're not going to be able to really blanket that with a successful advertising campaign. There's just too many moving parts.
YouTube has subsidized the whole thing to a certain degree, because I'm not saying they're losing money, even though we still don't know how much money they actually make. That's never been reported.
YouTube?
I've looked.
No, I think it's. Well, I think they.
They've never reported profit numbers.
No profit. They don't report. No, not profit.
I mean, all you get is revenue. You never hear how much of that is profit.
No, it's got to be quite expensive.
and we don't know. I mean, we don't know how much profit they make. If they make, I'm sure they do make a profit, but it may not be that big. There may be other. What they have is massive costs.
Mm-hmm.
They have gigantic costs. They build their own. They build their own GPUs.
Yeah.
To do transcoding. I mean, like they build their own microchips. That's why Spotify and Twitch and all these other are never really going to be serious competitors to YouTube. Because YouTube, they've just done something that almost nobody else can do, because they just are willing to pour billions of dollars into their infrastructure. And that's why that thing is what it is. But in spite of that, I'm still just as consistently disappointed in my YouTube algorithm as I am in my podcast app.
Yeah.
I log into YouTube and I would consider myself a pretty heavy YouTube user. I finally bit the bullet and bought the premium subscription.
Ah, so you don't have to deal with the ads. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I just couldn't.
Well worth it in my book. Well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I log in and I have about, I don't know, I have about 30 channels I subscribe to, and some days I'll log in and there's just nothing. There's just nothing there. And then you look at your home, there's nothing there. Like there's just nothing there that is new. And then if I look at my home screen that has like suggestions and stuff, it's there's nothing on there but a bunch of stuff I'm not interested in. And so from that standpoint, it's really not that different than sometimes I log into my podcast app and I really am just not interested in any of the stuff that's in there.
Except for the shows you want to catch. Because, it's like I check my podcast app Wednesday evening, and I know when I'm walking Phoebe, I'm hoping that there's another This Week in Bitcoin, which, by the way, is another show that does about $1,000 a month, maybe $1,200 a month, because he's value for value. And it's all sats. It's all sats, streaming sats and boostergrams. And I look forward to that show. And I may have to scroll down. I may have to refresh a feed because I want that content. And then after I'm done listening to that, I'm going to listen to Todd and Rob. And thank God for Chapters. Like, oh, what's the video segment? Okay, skip that. Skip the video segment. No, the chapters are great. And then Friday morning, I'll be looking for power. You know, first I listen to the Pod News Weekly Review, or to the Pod News Daily podcast. And then I'm looking for power. And, you know, sometimes there'll be so much other stuff because I subscribe to Gordon's Godcaster feed because I'm interested in what he subscribes to. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I don't need the hourly Fox News report. You know, I don't need Megyn Kelly. No, but, you know, but sometimes it'd be like, oh, what is Megyn Kelly doing? You know, Tucker may pop up, but usually I scroll past all of that stuff. And sometimes it's so far down, I have to search for it and I find it. So it's a utility. But that is really because I'm looking for the content. And yes, my life, and you can say I'm not a normal listener, but I think that's very normal behavior. If we don't release A Curry and the Keeper on Wednesday night before 9:30, the phones are ringing. Are you guys okay? What's going on? Thursday morning, I'm so upset. There's still, you know, we had a server outage, so I couldn't upload it until Thursday morning. People are upset. They're concerned. And that's really very normal people. It's church people who pop up their Google. I don't know how to get to a website, but I just type in Curry and the Keeper, and I click on it, and then I click on it again, and then I click play.
Oh, you know, okay, you know, perhaps why this may be part of the explanation. The reason why people get so antsy about something like Curry and the Keeper not coming out at, you know, at an expected time or no gender, that kind of thing, it might be just because there is so little good content that, like, I mean just like truly good content that what people consider to be good content, that's not just time waster content, that people something people really want to listen to and look forward to, that it makes a meaningful impact on their life. I mean, like, because there's a difference between, you know, I've said this before, like, America This Week is a podcast that I'm the same way with it that you know, that people are with Curry and the Keeper. I want with America This Week, it comes out on, they have a Monday night live stream and then they release their episodes on Friday. If they don't release something, I'm irritated and bothered by it. It really bothers me.
Sure.
Like, I want that content and I will go to all kinds of links to get it. But there's very little content that's like that. Even things like Rogan.
Oh,
popular.
Yeah, I skip five out of the 10 episodes, maybe even more.
Yes. Yes, and like, and you skip five out of the 10, the there may be three or four you listen to that you're just like, I got nothing else to do,
right? Well,
so
I'll listen to it,
and then there's one that's actually meaningful that you want to listen.
But the time wasters are TikTok. That's what you do with the rest of your life. And yeah, TikTok is doing $4 billion a year. YouTube, you know, their revenue is $10 billion a quarter or whatever. You know, but you're right. We don't know the cost of that. But that's just for all the other stuff. And so podcasting started, Facebook was just becoming available to people without a .edu email address. YouTube really didn't come until what, 2007, 2008, when Google bought it at least, and you know, it was a big deal. So, you know, and I just have to repeat, podcasting was completely, you know, page 23 below the fold. No one was talking about podcasting. The venture capital people that had invested $65 million in Podshow, they were like, well, you got to do videos. Clearly videos. Until Serial came along. And where could you get Serial? You could only get it really in a podcast app. So
That's one thing I thought was good about what Tom said was that he clearly just was like, video's not the answer to the, we can just stop talking about video because
it's YouTube.
That's just not even part of the conversation that we're having. Okay.
No. And look,
and he's right.
And just look at Rogan, because he's now back on podcast apps. He's on Spotify. I think Spotify it's hard to get the audio version. You kind of get the video version by default, I think. But 2 years ago when I was on Rogan, I think that the YouTube views, for whatever that means, 60 seconds watch, was 3 million. Now his average is about 1 million. You know, so it's spread out. It's in different places. For a while there, it was exclusively on Spotify, which I think may have actually hurt him to some degree because it gave a lot of people opportunity to rise up. And now, to be honest, I see Rogan, Theo Vaughn, Megyn Kelly, and Tucker Carlson, they all have the same guests on.
They're just rotating through the same people all the time.
Yeah, it's like instead of, you know, Tonight Show and David Letterman, now we have, you know, four Tonight Shows.
Right.
And you can only but, you know, I prefer to listen. I listen to Tucker a lot, too, but I prefer to listen to Rogan. And I think what a lot of people are doing, Tina is a big fan of this, is she'll go on Instagram or YouTube and she'll just watch clips of Megyn Kelly. So she'll watch a 15-minute with one guest. She won't even watch the whole show. Well, that may be fine for what Megyn Kelly's doing, and maybe it's working out great for her. That's just not what I prefer to do. So,
it's interesting. I was having a discussion with my two older kids, my 23-year-old and my 21-year-old, 23-year-old girl, 21-year-old boy, and they both told me that they pretty much never look at TikTok anymore.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yes. What they said, and both of them said for the same reason. They said that the TikTok shop ruined the app.
And that's really the way they make money, is the TikTok shop. That's the moneymaker.
Them and all their friends basically have stopped using TikTok. They said they'll open it up every now and then for 5 minutes and just scroll through, but they're largely off that platform now, and they've gone back to Instagram.
Yeah, I believe Instagram, it. I believe,
you know,
it
seems, because it's all the same stuff anyway. But they said that the TikTok shop thing basically just ruined everybody's algorithm, because all it is just a bunch of people selling stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Cheap crap from China.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people selling stuff combined with like a bunch of Russian car crash videos and other stuff that just they don't want to see. It's like, it's just they said their timelines are just junk now.
So the bottom,
which I found pretty interesting. I mean, like to have every, you know, because TikTok was the thing that was going to eat the world, and all of a sudden, the bloom's coming off the rose, you know.
So the bottom line is, this is all based on user generated content, and we have a lot of it. And, you know, for a while you can get into your algorithm of watching people dancing. You know, TikTok was the big, really, they blew up because of the music and the dances, and then they got into a fight with Universal Music, and you know, so I think they lost a lot of they decided not to renew their licenses. So that vibe kind of went away. But it's the thing that I think everyone gets wrong is it's the content. It's always going to be the content that drives people to your podcast. I'm not on Apple with Curry and the Keeper. I'm not on Spotify with any of my shows. Has it hurt me? I don't think so. I really don't think so, because people know where to get it. They want it. They'll come and get it wherever I am. But it's podcasting is not a platform that engages you when you're on your podcast app all day. I mean, there was a little moment there, and hopefully I successfully turned people away from that, where, you know, they're just gorging content, have 2x speed. I need to listen to more podcasts. I need more information. It's got to go faster. Got it in my brain. But that's just not what it is. You know, you're not constantly watching Netflix all day.
There also is no podcasting middle class.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, that's an interesting observation.
There's really just not one. I mean, there's the bottom 95%. And then there's the top 4%, and then there's just like a 1% middle class. There's really not a meaningful podcast middle class anymore. And there kind of is in the world of YouTube and that kind of thing. There's a few of those people who are making okay. I don't know if it's any more than it is in podcasting, but it's just, there's, podcasting is just not, man, it's just, it's hard. It's hard and it's messy and, you know, and
it is.
And like, it is a, you know, one of the things that Tom said in his article was that podcasting 2.0 has had spotty success. And I agree. We have had spotty success. But, you know, spotty success is all that most of us can hope for.
And it's, you know? I love it. I love my spotty success. I mean, do.
You talk about like podcasting was, podcasting was created by a radio guy and a programmer in a hotel room.
Pretty much.
That's pretty spotty. Yeah. That's a spotty.
That's very, very you know? Spotty.
And we love RSS, but let's admit, let's all just be honest here. I love RSS for what it gives us, but as far as a spec, it's pretty terrible. I mean, it's nobody would create RSS in the same way today if we were going to do this thing over from scratch. It's so loose and so vague, and but half the tags don't even make any sense. And
but,
like,
yeah, but I kind of disagree, because half the tags make a lot of sense to groups of people. I just look at the music stuff.
I'm talking about the original RSS 2.0 spec that Weiner. I'm talking about that spec.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That spec reads like,
oh, what? Yeah. Yeah. There were some things in there that made no sense. Yeah. I agree.
And the restrictions on, I mean, it just, what I'm trying to say is that all of podcasting is built on the shakiest of specifications to begin with. So any improvement is an improvement, you know, yeah. But somehow it still works. You know, it still works.
It works fantastic.
It's not pretty, but it works.
You know? I look at when the kids do their battle of the douchebags and all this other stuff, and when they're doing a skirmish live and they're playing and people are boosting. And I mean, I look at the boost board and like my eyes, like it's like I'm on an acid trip. Like, what is this thing? I barely understand half of what's going on. And it's like, you know, HAL 2000 meets a Minority Report. You're like, wow, look at all this stuff. And that's all possible because of the stuff that we've built. I don't know. That is success to me. Is the whole world going to do that? Absolutely not. The whole world's not going to listen to No Agenda. It's just not going to happen. And by the way, we've churned our audience five times at least. Yeah, there's still people who've been around since episode one, but people get really mad at us. It's like during COVID, we had a different opinion. A lot of people left and a lot of people came in. Ukraine, Russia, a lot of people left. A lot of people came back in. It's just how it goes. And so we have this kind of, this is the amount. And, you know, we tell people to go hit people in the mouth and let them know about it. And they're not all listening in podcast apps. They're listening in all kinds of different ways. Some only listen live at work. You know, it's like, so I don't know what people define success as. You know, when Steve Jobs introduced podcasting, revolution, it was born. Boom, fantastic. Oh, there's this stuff that people are making and I can listen to it. And then Apple kind of said, oh, by the way, you can listen on demand to BBC, NPR, you know, and PBS and all that stuff. Because they put a lot of focus on quote unquote professional stuff in the beginning, if you recall. But the beauty has always been I can listen to anybody. I can listen to no matter what it is. And now I can get audiobooks on it. And it's never going to be one big platform. All the podcast apps and all the websites all have the same features. It's not going to be that way. Just as, there's only going to be a few mega successful people that everybody's heard about and everybody has seen once or twice or has seen a clip of. That's the same in music. Mm-hmm. But the beauty is in those little groups of people who are completely dedicated. I mean, college radio used to be a thing too. You know? Mm. So to me, it's so successful. And it doesn't need, you know, what we're doing doesn't need anyone to drive or anyone to be the evangelist. It doesn't need that. It's just technology. Use it how you want to use it. You and I mm-hmm. saw an opportunity and went, oh, let's build this thing, Godcaster. By the way, seeing those stats you built this morning was kind of mind-boggling.
that was an interestingly difficult. Do you want to talk about some of the tech on that?
Yeah, let me just explain what it is, and then I want you to talk about the tech. So we've explained that Godcaster is mainly for radio stations. That's just our phase one. And they can put their live stream in as a lit tag, and then they can put all the programming they have that they play nationally, all the podcasts, and anything they have local, and they can mix and match, arrange it. It's a feed by itself, so you can subscribe to the station. You get the in the modern podcast app, you can listen to the live stream because it's lit, and then you can get the most recent episode. And because we control the player, we have all this first-party data, which is great. So the station can see what is working for them. If people are listening to that programming, it also does video, but I think the majority is audio. And then we got all the, we showed it to people, and these program producers who are on anywhere from 60 to 2000 radio stations. They're like, wow, it'd be very cool if we could see what's happening on each of the affiliate stations. And so you built that, and I go in, I'm like, holy cow, look at this. You can see exactly what stations people are listening to it more. What's getting more engagement, who's listening longer. Let's look at the Canadian version. You can see exactly what's happening there. And it's all this first-party data. It was mind-boggling to me. It was – I'd never – because now it took it out of the here's downloads and regions to there's this radio station over there. They're promoting this on their website and their podcast experience on their website. Some of them have it in their app now. And you can see how it's doing with that audience. It was. I really love seeing that. I was all giddy with it. I really was.
So let me talk about the tech as to what is going on there. Because this is I think this is an overlap with what we're going to be doing with the index as well. We've used SQLite from the beginning in various ways. I mean, from the beginning of the index, to deliver, we deliver the weekly download as a SQLite database. We use SQLite for the backend of podping.cloud. We use it for, Helipad uses it. We've always done this. And so, one of the things we knew that we needed in Godcaster was that each radio station was going to need to have stats about who's listening to their show, or not necessarily who, but how many plays they're getting on what shows, how many support, how many people are clicking on the donation links, just all the different stats, the metrics that you want from you roll out this web player to your website and you want to see all the stats or record all the stats. And that's a big commitment. So we know that the hosting companies are very good at stats. Really in a lot of ways, hosting companies are really stats companies.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's really what their main, what is such a huge feature of what they do. Otherwise, all you would do is you'd throw it on archive.org or, SoundCloud or something. But if you want to have real meaningful stats and see what's happening with your feed and with your episodes, you use a hosting company.
Right.
And then they put, you know, they have good UI on top of it, but stats is a big part. And I know from all my friends in the podcast hosting world that stats is also a huge pain in the butt.
No kidding. Yeah.
It's hard to do it right. It takes tons of server respaces, resources and disk space.
Yeah.
You can really just sell the farm when it comes to stats if you're not careful.
Yeah.
And so, I was like, I had that in mind and I was thinking, what's the best way to do this? Best in quotes, right? And it struck me, okay, why don't we just do it this way? Why don't we have a SQLite file for each web player for each month of each year? So, anytime an event happens, like a play or a share or a support,
it's a ton, or anything it's, like I think that. It's like 18 different events.
Yeah, it's a lot. This would also include RSS downloads from the station's feed.
Yeah.
Clicks on funding tags. All these things get recorded. Anytime an event comes in, it looks at the time, at the year, the month, the year, the month, the day, and the hour, and that gets recorded and that gets put into a SQLite database for that player for that year and month. So you would have like 2025_3-theplayerIDnumber.db, and that's the SQLite database for that player for the month of March,
right,
of 2025. And so everything in all the month of March for that player gets recorded in that thing, and then when it rolls over to April, you get a new database.
New file.
So there's trade-offs, you know. It will, like anything, one of the trade-offs is, and this is a big one, is that you have to store all your files on
object storage.
No, on the disk.
Ew.
You have to store all your files on the disk that is serving the content.
Right.
If you want to write directly to the file. Now, we could queue these things and ship them off to a different server that would do the recording, but we're not, you know, that's scaling. That's not necessary at this point. But that's just one of the trade-offs that you have to, you know, that you have to consider. But one of the pro side of the trade-offs is you get like super fast SQL storage and you don't have to run a separate SQL server.
It's fantastic.
Which is great.
Now, yeah. Let me ask you a question. So I understand that. And of course, people can download their month's worth of stats raw log file, which is great. You know, it's CSV format. Boom, open it up. Pivot table, rotate, zoom, enhance, pie chart. But then, how did you parse out by program?
So that's the next part is. So when we went to give publishers their stats, so. Let's say I'm focused on the family and I have, you know, 12 different podcasts, and I want to see how my 12 different podcasts are performing across all of the players on the platform. What we do is we have a publisher database, same thing, SQLite database for the year and the month, publisher database, and then once an hour, it goes through and finds all the players that have that show in them, in their lineup, opens up that show's database, pulls the latest entries out for just those programs, and sticks it in the publisher's database.
That could be quite a process over time.
It's not fast, but it's not horrible either. I mean, it's not too bad, because the one thing about, you know, again, SQLite is lightning fast. It is so quick. And I mean, once you know, these files are generally pretty small, even for lots and lots of entries. They never tend to grow too huge. And all you're taking is the delta each time. So you're just taking this hour's entries.
Oh, okay. Right.
You know, so at most you're only really pulling out, you know, a few hundred entries or 1,000 maybe each time. You know, so it's not too bad. And so then that's how we have you know, database, we have stats databases that are specific to each thing. And the other nice thing about it is when you want to purge stats for older months, you just delete the file. There's no database work involved.
Yeah, there's no pruning.
No, there's no pruning. It's because you just, it's like, well, you know, we keep,
2 months.
We keep 2 months of stats currently. So when we get, you know, to April, February will
disappear.
You know, we'll just do an RRM. You know?
We'll ship it off to Iron Mountain on tape.
It'll go under the earth.
Of all the times back in the day in the 90s when we had Think New Ideas and, you know, we had, it was required by some of our customers like Reebok and Anheuser-Busch, you know, you have to have backups of everything. And so we'd run Legato tape backups. We'd ship it off, not to Iron Mountain, but something comparable. I would say the two times we had a catastrophic crash, it was the most horrible process to restore everything from tape. I mean, it took weeks to get that done. I was like, this is not a real solution. This is not really working well. It was bad.
Yeah, tape storage is great until you need to restore, and then it's very slow. Yeah,
it looks great. Oh, look at all these tapes we got. Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, object storage and cloud storage for backup is also kind of that way.
Yeah.
It's also kind of that way. It's great until you need to restore, and then it can be a very slow process. But it
can be.
I see Iron Mountain trucks all over the place. I mean, they're still a big deal.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. Isn't all the VA pensions done on paper in Iron Mountain?
Oh, I heard that. But one of the ghost things. Yeah.
Well.
But I think the SQLite database, I've already started working on the version 2.0 of the podcast index API.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some sort of scaffolding code written that so it's gonna be this new version of the API is gonna be in Rust, and it'll be it's built on Poem Open API crate. Alex turned me onto this crate, and it's this thing is so slick. It is so easy.
Poem crate?
Poem dash AP. Let's see. Poem dash open API.
Poem crate is just a great show title. Poem crate.
Poem dash open API. So you can, it makes it like effortless to create routes that attach to a function.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's going to be really the heart of version two of the podcast index REST API. And then, but what I'm going very slow and very careful, because what I want to happen is, as we have this API, we need it to follow a specific SQL schema, so that we can then, here's kind of what I'm hoping for, is to be able to ship ship SQLite files that contain slices of the database around. So what we would do is, like, we talked about this before, what our vision is that somebody can request part of the index,
mm-hmm.
and take that on as a workload on their node. And so in order to make that happen, we got to be able to ship, you know, a decent chunk of data to them. Eric, it's not, I mean, I wouldn't really, I'm not really thinking of in terms of shards, because I'm uncomfortable sharding something across, like, this massive distance. You know, it's not going to be on the same land segment or even close. So these really have to be like these really have to be able to operate as if they were disconnected from the mothership. So I'm thinking, you know, if somebody requests a slice of the database that's 10,000 shows, I mean, I don't know, 40 megs, something like that, 40, 50 megs worth of data sent across to this other node through, you know, our DHT connection. And send that, then that other node gets this SQLite database and loads it into whatever their backend database is. Or they could just work off that SQLite database itself. And then if they ever needed to give it back, they could send it back. So I'm thinking about, like, this would be the message passing would be these SQLite database files, because they can be very small.
That's very exciting, Dave.
It's not, but thanks.
I'm looking forward to it. I got 5 gigabit per second. I got lots of disk space. I'm ready for you to shard on me. Bring it on, big boy. I'm good to go.
There's about 4 people in the boardroom who enjoyed that. So
I wanted to just, before we thank some people, because I know you got to get back to the office. I just wanted to mention one 2.0 feature that has just been a thing of beauty, and that's the funding tag. And it would work perfectly well with chapter links. So in the Godcaster, the host of the show, they have a post roll in their audio. There's a whole infrastructure set up in Radioland called Ambassador. And so at the end of the show, the host and the host voice says, "Hey, if you liked our program, go to KHCB's website. If you're not already there, click on the donate button." And that's the funding tag. And so when you hit that, it takes you to the program producer's donation page, and we send off a referring URL. And that shows up somewhere. What was really beautiful is I did this for Focus on the Family, and I had already donated, I guess, once. And so I didn't complete my donation, and then I got an email from them, kind of like a shopping cart where someone said, "Hey, you left and your shopping cart is still open. You didn't donate." And it had a link, and it was our link with the referral code. And so the implication of that is that we can show a conversion from a radio station's Godcaster player all the way through a programmer's database, their customer relationship management database. We can show that conversion because their system is already aware of that link. This would work extremely well with per inquiry, call to action, code Bongino type stuff. You know,
we should talk about this with Tom next week.
Yes,
I think this is an untapped experience
to be able to show, because I saw it. It's like, holy crap, we can now show conversion when someone hits that link. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the funding link. It can be a chapter link. It can be all kinds of different things. But that going all the way in and automatically having the refer code, wherever that came from, whatever the app was, which is something we could all agree, like, well, why don't I just have a referring link or something that I send along from my podcast app, whether it's Podverse or Podcast Guru. You know, then you can also talk about, to me, it's kind of like a value for value sharing mechanism where, hey, you know, this many people use my app to look at your product, and they went through conversion. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there that we're not. And you know, Rocky's really hot on this too. She really likes this chapter stuff,
Rocky from Soundstack.
Yeah, not just for tracking, but the whole conversion thing. That could actually be, I think, pretty groundbreaking. We could work with our brothers and sisters in the podcast industrial complex. It wouldn't be a hard code change, I don't think.
Well, I mean, if we just have a spec for what to send, and then how to, and then there, part of the spec is store it when you receive it on the receiving side, store it this way so that you can then confirm the conversion.
Yeah, with some ping back or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah. Let's.
Okay.
Let's
noted. Duly noted.
Noted.
All right. We are value for value. That's how everything keeps running. It's proof that podcasting 2.0 is a success, as is the value for value model, because everything's still running and we're getting ready to shard. So something must be working. And a lot of that comes through the modern podcast apps, people using the Satoshis to boost us. In fact, the split kit was used by Randy Black, who sent us 1321 Satoshi, says, "Oh, this sexy stats and coding talk has me all excited this afternoon. I just love it when Dave and Adam get all geeky on us. Go podcasting." Okay, Randy.
People like the geek. Geeky stuff. They like the deep dive.
They do. Cole McCormick, 1111. "I tried being consistent with editing my podcast video. It became exhausting. Now I'm planning on simplifying it with live streaming to all podcast apps and most important video platforms, YouTube, X, and Noster." All right. Bruce W., 1192. "Baby's first boost. Go podcasting."
Go podcasting!
Wow. Is that really your baby? Coming in from true fans. Salty Crayons on CurioCaster, 3140. "Howdy, Boardroom. Happy Pi Day. My Raspberry Pi has been running for 3+ years and has never failed as my node. Still pings the pongs in the pipe." We have Martin Lindeskog, true fan, 1701. "Back to the Future. How will you celebrate the Persian New Year? Nowruz. I am lost in space, but I have Ron Plouffe's griddle cakes and Sam Sethi's virtual wine on my starship." That's 1701. Oh, 1701 Sats, of course. Yes, of course. That's the Enterprise, wasn't it? 1701?
Yeah, that's right.
Martin Lindeskog, "P.S. Dave, what is Skinny Pop? Do you get gay by eating them? Do you like pork rinds?"
Skinny Pop is aged white cheddar. I don't think there's gay in the bag, but
careful now.
I'm not sure. It could be.
You have to get the non-gay kind. It's your own preference, whatever taste you have today.
Yes.
3141 from Dreb Scott. He says, "Go podcasting. Happy Pi Day." Coming in from Podverse and from CurioCaster, 314 from Salty Crayon, 314. "Pi Day bat signal confirmed." And then we've got Cole McCormick with 1111 again. He says, "Dave, please know there's a random guy in Los Angeles who deeply loves your spirit and your work. It's clear that your intentions are to serve podcasting and all that enjoy it. I see you and appreciate you. Choose your thoughts wisely. This is what creates your life. At least you didn't get into an argument with your podcasting wife." That would be Adam. I don't think we've ever... Have we ever had an argument?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No.
I don't think we've ever had an argument. And they had a podcast fight. 15 years and they never had a fight. And I hit the delimiter. Mm-hmm. So Dave will tell us who else supported the show this week.
Well, we got... I foolishly stapled these pieces of paper together. So now I have to destaple them. Here we go. I got it. Oscar Mary, $200.
Ooh, very nice. That's a big baller. Hold on a second.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you, Oscar.
Salty Crayon, you're going to send me some beef sticks? Yes, please. I'll take beef sticks. Franco, our buddy Franco, $100. He says, "Sending some coupons and a lot of love."
Very nice. Thank you, Franco. It's appreciated.
Yeah, I sent him an email asking when we can get him back on the show because we need an update on Castomatic.
Yeah, we need an update on Italy in general.
Italy, yes. Are you still there, Italy?
Italy, your points, please.
Podverse, $50.
Ah, Mitch, thank you so much.
I'm assuming that Mitch is heads down coding away on Podverse in next gen.
NG, yes. A NG, lot going on with that. And still the number two app behind Apple on No Agenda. That's not bad.
Let's see. Franco actually just responded to me. So, okay, we'll figure out a time for him. He said,
Let me in.
We'll figure out a time to get him on the show. Let's see here. We got some boostergrams. We got 2222 from Bruce. the Ugly Quacking Duck.
Yeah.
Podcasting 2.0. See, Podcast Guru, he says, it should work. Great to go. Okay.
It should. You never should. Know. Yeah. It should work.
Let's see. What do we got? Oppie 1984, 4,000 sats through the fountain. He says, Dave, as a former business owner, one hard lesson I had to learn was trying to please everyone is a path to ruin. Sometimes you just have to be thick-skinned, take ownership of a decision, and tell the people who don't like it that they can either accept it or leave. Yeah. They'll get mad, they'll threaten to leave, and 9 times out of 10, they'll come back. And if they don't come back, then they weren't the right one for the project. So look after yourself first, brother.
Ah, that's sweet.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Oppie 1984. Let me see. I've got one to go here. You read Cole McCormick. So
I did. I did. So we hit the delimiter then.
We hit the delimiter is comic strip blogger, 18,045 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Young people and children nowadays prefer YouTube and TikTok videos to podcasts. So it's a wonder that Dave Midas convinced his daughter, Leela, to create podcast with him. And it's already second. It's entitled Everything's an Argument. And it can be found at www.argumentpod.com. The hosts describe it as both an educational and comedy podcast, and they sometimes share expert opinions. Yo, CSB, PS, Adam, Kerwa, AI is not a parlor trick! Exclamation point.
Comic Strip Blogger is the recommendation engine of podcasting 2.0. That's what I love about him. You don't need any AI. You just need CSB. That's all you need. You're good to go.
But CSB is AI. I mean, like, I'm pretty convinced. He died years ago. He's just doing, this is all AI.
Yeah. Kurva.
Yeah. We got some monthlies. We got Joseph Maraca, $5. Randall Black, $10. Basil Phillip, $25. Thank you, Basil. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Mitch Downey, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Silicone Florist, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Damon Kasajak, $15. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Thank you, Paul. Derek J. Visker, the best name in podcasting, $21. And Jeremy Gerds, $5.
Ah, that's beautiful. Thank you all so much. Those are the PayPals. You can go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. Red button takes you to our PayPal for your fiat fun coupons. Of course, it is Podcasting 2.0, so we love the
boost.
And we got a late boost from Source D, also a Starship Enterprise boost, 1701. He says, running with scissors. And that we are. And we look forward to running with scissors again next week. Who knows what the argument will be then? What will be on deck? Well, we'll have Tom. We'll have Tom with us. I'm looking forward to it. I hope we can come up with some solutions for Tom. Tom needs money. We need to help him make money. Tom needs money.
I think we can. It's always good. Like, you know, it's always good to, it's always good to have these different perspectives. I really enjoy it. I mean, every time we have somebody on who's not just steeped in this stuff, it's always a learning experience.
Yes.
But you know, cause you've got to, we can't just go like, just down navel gazing into the silo all the time. We got to talk outside the bubble.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that funding tag could be used. Even Apple could get on board with that. If you just had a star or a donkey or something on Apple Podcast that you could hook up to anything, you know, it's like, well, if you hit the donkey, if you whack the donkey, then you go straight to this advertiser's website and I'll get credit for it or something like that. There's something there. We'll have to explore. We will explore.
Can we please call it something other than whack the donkey? Because that makes me super uncomfortable.
All right, Brother Dave. I'll be praying for you for decent weather throughout the weekend.
Thank you, bro.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much, Boardroom. We'll see you next week right here on Podcasting 2.0. Bring the donuts.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Oh, my bathrobe fell open. Boing, boing, boing.